This episode of the Bayou Dragons podcast is proudly brought to you by Dragon Industrial Wrap.
Fuse. Ready for any project, no matter how big or how small. Dragon Industrial Wrap.
Episode 52 of the Bayou Dragons podcast. It is your normal host, Porter May, alongside with Mitch McCall. We have two very special guests this afternoon. One of them is the three-time Washer Tournament state champion in the state of Colorado, Mr. Cole Johnson. And he is the one who had pointed me towards the main guest, no offense, Cole, but the main guest for tonight. His name is Josh Palermo. He is the lead singer, the vocalist, lead guitarist for the new upcoming phenomenon for Texas country music, JT Reserve.
Thank you.
Was that not good?
That was really good. I do not play lead guitar.
Oh, you don't play guitar? Oh, my bad.
But I don't. Wish I could.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Not lead guitar.
You're good, dude.
But I thought that was a pretty good.
I appreciate it. That was
very good intro. Very good intro.
Thanks, man. You are the vocalist, though.
That might be the best compliment I've ever been given.
No, you're welcome, dude. There'll be plenty more to go. And maybe I can record something later. You can, like, whenever you walk out on stage, is like, and coming to the stage, JT Reserve lead vocalist Josh Palermo.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
He's 3-for-1 tonight. Like, like
next up on the main stage.
Yeah. But, so my buddy Cole here a while back, and it's been a while back, but was like, hey, there's a new band coming up. You need to check them out. They're legit. You need to get them on the podcast. JT Reserve. He's been telling me for months. JT Reserve. I'm like, look, not that I didn't want to have them on, you know, just like everybody that listens, life. And it just has been getting pushed off. We have other guests that we had to get on. And
for sure.
Finally got to have you on. And, man, it's a pleasure. It's been so far a solid-ass afternoon already.
It's been a good one. It's been a good one. Good steak, good corn, cold beer.
It's corn.
The corn.
Yeah. Where is that kid now?
I mean, nobody knows.
No.
But excellent dinner prepared by Porter, per usual. But for those of y'all listening, JT Reserve, they are new and upcoming band. And I'm going to put a clip in right now. We recorded a couple songs on the back porch, so.
And I told you I was sorry. Guess that didn't mean that much. And in 2 weeks, you're with another guy. Guess I never did enough. Now I'm sitting on my back porch, drinking away memories of you. Oh, I can't.
Your perfume. Dude, that is a great song.
It's a banger.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Like, so here, whenever, first off, props on the song playing on the back porch.
Thank you
for the doing that. You played three different songs, two of them that are going to be on your new album.
Yeah.
We'll get into that because I want you to plug yourself as much as you can.
Sure.
But, and you know just as good as anyone that you can hear people, you know, on Spotify, Apple, whatever you want to use, you know, it's like, man, these guys sound good. And then you hear them live, and it's like,
they sound like dog shit. Like,
yeah, these guys suck ass.
They suck.
Dude, I was genuinely, because I've never seen you live, so I was genuinely, like, happy that you were good.
Well, that means a lot.
Like,
that really does mean the world, man.
Like, I'm being serious.
I can't wait for you to see it full band next time.
I know. I'm super excited. But, like, I was tickled to death. I was like, well, I didn't go. Like, I went into this blind because I don't know who you are. I've been listening to your music on Spotify, and I thoroughly enjoy it. JT Reserve on everything. But I was like, man, I hope he sounds good live. Yeah. Cole's been hyping this dude up. And Cole hasn't steered me wrong. Cole's a good friend of mine. He hasn't lied to me many times.
These guys fuck.
Yeah. Took the words out of my mouth, dog. No, he was legit. You were legit on the back porch, and I appreciate you doing that, letting us clip a little bit of it, putting it on the podcast. We're going to, you know, post it on Instagram, TikTok, all that stuff.
I appreciate it a lot, man. It helps out.
So, before we get into it, like, when did you figure out that you were, like, musically inclined? What did you just figure out that you wanted to do it one day? Did you start playing when you were young?
Yeah.
Have you always had the ear for it?
Yeah, it's a really weird story. So growing up, I was always like an attention whore, kind of. So like I always liked doing stuff where I was in front of people, whether or not that was like playing sports or doing music. And it really kind of kicked in when I was in middle school. I started playing piano, and I took drum lessons and all this stuff. And it really started whenever I was playing at church. When I was in middle school, I started playing at youth group. And then in high school, I started playing at different retreats and stuff like that. And it's kind of weird how this all turned into, like, the Texas music, because, like, when I was in high school, I was always playing at church, and like I would learn covers and stuff, but I would always just play them in the room at my parents' house. They've heard me play too many Cody Johnson songs and too many Granger Smith songs. It's hilarious.
Good classic, good old classics.
Yeah. But the weird thing about this is I really got into it whenever I was in probably eighth grade is when I learned how to play guitar. And I wanted nothing to do with country music. I thought country music sucked. I was really into like alternative rock and pop punk music. So
you're talking like Three Days Grace or a Day like, to Remember like, or
a Day to Remember. I was a
Devil Wears
kid.
Prada
yeah. emo. I was a Warped Tour kid.
Hell yeah! I appreciate that music too.
Yeah, and it's really cool because it kind of leads into. Like, whenever I was in high school, I was always learning these songs by these bands that I liked, that I looked up to. And I think I was either a sophomore or a junior in high school, and I went to Gator Fest, and I was on a date with this girl, and Cody Johnson was playing, and I was like, I can get with this. Kojo was playing at Gator Fest. It was a great show. And so for about a year, or not a year, maybe 6 months, I only listened to Cody Johnson. Well, then Port Arthur Mardi Gras comes and Granger Smith plays. And I'm like, okay, so I'm only listening to Cody Johnson and Granger Smith. And for a long time, that's all I listened to. And then I had a buddy of mine that was like, hey, have you heard the Taco Bell song? And I was like, what are you talking about?
Co Wetzel.
And he played me Co Wetzel. And I was like,
February 28th?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah. And I was like, you mean to tell me that there's a brand of country music that kind of combines these two things that I love. And so I got really into Co and Parker and Reed Southall, and I started learning all their songs. And at the time I'm playing, well, I got to backtrack a little bit. When I graduated high school, I decided that I wanted to go do mission work for a year. So I was pretty much, I say touring across the country. We were doing retreats at different high schools and churches, and I was doing all the music. And when I got back, my buddy Blake Smith asked me if I'd be a part of this young adult group and I would pretty much help with all the music. And in that, I met my guitar and fiddle player, Troy Laughlin, and I already knew Troy, and I already knew my drummer, Zach. He played drums for the young adult group, and we just kind of started like in between songs being like, hey dude, check out this lick that I can play, or check out this song that I learned. And it was all Texas country covers. And we were at a house party one time, and my buddy had a guitar, and I hate being the dude that's like, oh, you got a guitar, dude, let me play. And I was playing, and my buddy was like, dude, you should go do that at the brewery. And I was like, maybe. But
are we talking about the same brewery?
Yeah, Nature's Brewing Company.
Nature's
Brewing Company.
Shout out. They've been on the podcast. I don't know what number it was.
The brewery.
Still one of my favorite episodes.
That was a fun episode.
We like that was to call a good it The episode. Office.
Not,
it's The Office.
Not cutting you off, but no, if you have not seen that one, Tyler Blunt, fantastic
we
guest.
We need to do that again.
We had a blast.
Look, right here, these guys.
Nature's Brewing. Yeah, there you go.
I brought my mug.
Yeah. He brought his mug. That's how legit these guys are, and they're great, great guys.
And they've been good to us, man. They've been really good to us. But we're at this house party. I'm playing, you know, Coe Wetzel covers, Parker McCollum covers, like all the popular stuff at the time.
Yeah.
And my buddy was like, you should do that at the brewery. And I was like, man, I don't really know. Like, I've only played at church. I really want to do that, but I'd never really took that step to do it. And that kind of gave me a little confidence boost that, you know, people thought that that would be a good idea. Well, my parents, they throw this New Year's Eve party every year. And my dad was like, hey, if y'all want to set up, y'all can play a little show. I was like, hell yeah, we'll do that. And there's a dude there. His name's Jason Knox. He is one of the nicest guys I've ever met. He said, hey, I want your band to come play at New York Pizza and Pasta in Beaumont, Texas, for a slice of pizza and a Coke.
Hey, fantastic slice of pizza too, by the way.
Outstanding.
So,
if you're a local
New York Pizza and Pasta, not joking, go quite often.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So
good slice.
So we play there and we're like, okay, it's just me and my guitar player Troy at the time. And we're like, okay, this was pretty cool. People liked it. And at the time we had no original songs. We were only playing covers. And we got asked to play at a birthday party. It was a 30-minute time slot at the Log On Cafe. And all of our friends came out and supported us. And we were like, we're booking a show at the Nature's Brewing Company as soon as we can. And in that time frame, I was like, you know what? Like, if we're going to do this, we need to have an original song. And so I went back home, and I went to bed, and I went to work at 4 o'clock in the morning the next day, and wrote my very first song that was the title track of our EP, and we played our very first show at the Nature's Brewing Company. It was in March of 2021, and it was just still me and Troy just playing acoustic. And from that, we got so much feedback, and we were like, okay, like,
this might be something.
Let's put the pedal to the metal and see if we can do something with it, and here we are.
Dude, so I've always wondered, like, so, and don't take this wrong, you're not, and yet, you're not a Co, you're not a Parker, you haven't,
exactly,
you're not playing at Houston Livestock Rodeo, but
yet,
you've been playing some pretty big venues, you've played some music festivals, we're going to get into all of that, but, like, how does it feel going from, like, playing a birthday party to now you've performed in front of thousands of people?
Yeah.
Like, literal thousands of people, you know?
It's really funny that you say that, because I was telling Cole on the ride over here, like, I'm always reading off lyrics that I've written, and I told Cole, I was like, you know, man, like, I've been dwelling on this a lot recently, that, you know, in whatever you do, if you put your all into it, there's going to be people that tell you you shouldn't do that. That's not a good idea. People are going to tell you that you suck.
Yeah, we get that all the time.
And all this stuff. And you're going to stress out, but you can't forget to enjoy the ride through that, because at the end of the day, there's going to be a time when I play my last song. And I don't want to look back and be like, man, I wish I would have done this, or I wish I would have done that.
I wish I would have dropped one more F-bomb.
Yeah,
Give us some hardcore shit. Like,
yeah.
And it just kind of all falls into that. Like, I struggle sometimes with being proud of myself, but, like, I look back and I'm like, man, in 3 years, we've already done so much. What's going to happen in the next 3 years? So it's just kind of keeping an open mind and trying not to, you know, dwell on the hard times and just kind of try to see all the good shit that's coming.
Well, yeah, you can't dwell on all the negative and all the
100%
all the bullshit, because if you do that, then you're not going to be successful.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? If you're too worried about all that shit, and it's
you will not grow.
Exactly.
That's literally and you hear the negative louder than all the positive. Yeah. It's all, you're always going to have a lot of positive, but it's like that one negative. You don't want to hear it. So it's it speaks louder. So 100%. As long as you block that out and, like, man, shaft those people.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that you came from, like, a youth church group singing to JT. That's cool as shit. Yeah, dude.
And, dude, like, so many musicians, that's where they get their start, is playing at church. And, like, I will cherish those memories that I made. I learned so much from that. And, like, learning how to – that's kind of where I learned my stage presence, is being able to talk and play at the same time.
Well, yeah, that helps. Like, that really is kind of like a stepping stone to that. Like, instead of, like, just being somebody that's, like, you know, very good at playing guitar, very good at singing, can write songs, and tries to book their first show, it's like, I've been doing shows since I was 12. Yeah. I've been playing in front of 85 old people at the Methodist Church in Finette for, like, the last 3 years, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, you just get good at being in front of people.
Yeah, you get comfortable with it. And that was the thing that, like, I've never even thought of it like that.
Yeah.
So that's eye-opening to me right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're not in the same industry at all. But, like, the first time we did a show, I felt so awkward. I'm saying a show, like, just selling our merchandise or apparel in person.
Yeah.
I'm like, people are going to think we're retarded. This is dumb,
yeah,
gay, whatever the fuck they want to think.
Fuck those people.
That, dude, we had, the only people that showed up were people that wanted to meet us, liked us, wanted to buy our stuff. Like, I was like, oh, this is actually fun. Mm-hmm. I like doing this.
I love doing the shows, man.
And so, like, and it's gone from doing, like, local shows, which they're not small by no means, like the Texas Rice Festival, the Anahuac Gator Festival. But, like, we went and did Texas Trophy Hunters. There was, like, 50, 60,000 people walking through that weekend.
Yeah.
And we're talking to not all of them, but a majority that are going to come by, and they get our number one thing, old people walking up, Bayou Dragon. What's that? And then we all each have our own type of spin, a spill of how we became what we are, what we do, shit like that. So I feel like started off small, started getting bigger, and it's fun now.
Yeah.
So I imagine the same.
Like, we're not in the same industry, but we're both selling a brand.
Yeah.
In a sense. And it's like we sell these T-shirts.
Yeah.
And we want to make cool T-shirts, and I love people want to buy them.
As soon as he presented it to me earlier, I immediately took the shirt off I was wearing.
Yeah.
And put it on.
By the way, if you go see JT Reserve in person, get you one of these shirts.
That shirt right there.
If you want one, shoot us a DM on Instagram. We'll ship it to you too.
Oh, really? You sell them online?
Well, you just gotta DM us.
Oh, okay.
Send us a DM or email us. We got all of our merch on our Instagram, so.
Oh, cool.
Go check that out and
JT Reserve. And when we make a post, we'll tag you and
for
all that
sure,
shit.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
I took a little video of you singing earlier and cinematic view on the iPhone.
It was like perfect.
Oh yeah, dude, golden hour.
I felt it like Texas. 100%
golden hour. And you sounded great. You really did.
Thank
you.
You
did.
Cole. I appreciate
I'm proud
it.
Of you.
I had a trailer in the background full of trash.
And Cole said, leave it.
I was like, man, I'm going to leave that trailer. And he's like, no.
Leave it, man.
Let's make this country as fuck. Let's leave that there. This
old
is
tire.
We're not in Austin. We're not in these major cities with this big influence, whatever. We're in the middle of nowhere. There's ducks flying over. The trailer needs to be there.
There was literally two mallards flying over as he's singing.
There's literally two mallards flying right over his head. The trailer needs to be there. It's country as fuck.
He's singing your perfume, and there's a drake in it. My bad.
Look, no, I gotta go.
Your cologne.
Your cologne.
Speaking of random bullshit, whatever, ducks, I've thought about digging a small pond in the back of my property and just getting, like, all kinds of different species of ducks and just, you know, having them live out there. I think that'd be badass.
Mandarin.
Just, like, all kinds of shit. Like, all the Southeast Texas species and just...
Yeah, white cheek pintails.
All kinds of shit.
Actually, don't have anything from North America.
Just all exotic.
All exotic. South American and Asian.
And I'm sure there's a market where you can buy like the hatchlings or whatever.
You can. You can. But they're like a Mandarin. I was looking the other day because I've been wanting to do this. Like the same thing. I don't have a pond, but raise a few of them and let them go with the tags, Bayou Dragons.
Banded
Bayou Dragon tags on a Mandarin and throw them out in Southeast Texas.
Go release them in the refuge or something.
Which I know it's highly illegal, but you know what? If someone shoots a Mandarin, they're not going to call the law on us. They're going to be like, this is the coolest shit ever. And they see Bayou Dragons, so like, these dudes are dope as shit. I'm not calling a game warden on me. But like I was looking at it, it's like $45, $50 a hatchling.
That's not bad.
It's really not. But like you can buy like a mallard's like $5.
But I will tell you this, one thing I don't want to do is get geese out there and just too much noise, you know.
Those start getting up in price.
Well, just being at the lake, they have all those Canada geese up there. Man, they're just imagine. They come in the morning up at the peninsula and they're just don't get me wrong, I love the sound. I love hunting, but I'm trying to, you know, chill in the morning. I don't want to be hearing that at the house.
Imagine CC Duck Call.
Oh yeah,
a buddy that we've had on the podcast actually. He has like 12 of these geese that are like his literal like golden retrievers, and they walk up to his truck when he pulls in from work. He hand feeds them, but they also come with the Canada goose call.
Oh yeah,
there you go.
Yeah. I would like to do that one day.
That call also makes me come. So.
Yeah, in person, but not some farm raised trash in my backyard. But earlier, and we'll get back to bullshit and all this stuff. I'm kind of just trying to get a little background on old Palermo over here.
Yeah, man.
You were talking about your first song you wrote. What was your first, like the one that you said you did your EP on?
Yeah, so the first song I wrote, it's the title track of our EP. It's called Texas. And at the time, I was working for this rescue company, and we were doing, this is in the middle of, or towards the end of COVID, this company got a contract with us going to different plant gates and literally just taking temperatures of people coming into
the
plant.
They had to do that to me when I was going in the plant. They'd shoot my forehead.
Yeah. Really?
Take my temperature.
I was that guy.
Yeah.
And that was me.
They would not let you in if you had, like, you know, you had fever. You weren't allowed in the plant.
I did not have that.
Yeah, 99.2.
Every single day.
You're not allowed. Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy times, man.
So the shifts started at 4 o'clock in the morning, and we didn't leave until 6 p.m. And y'all work in the refinery, so y'all know how shifts to go.
Yeah.
Like, people come for, like, from about maybe 4:30.
It's usually 5 to 5.
Yeah.
Let's say 5 to 5.
There was a lot of downtime in that. And
I would imagine.
Once I got through that,
11 hours.
Dude, I got to the end of TikTok twice.
Maybe,
man.
Like occasional lunch break crowd, but
it was
leave for lunch.
It was honestly like the most cush job that I had when we were just doing that. Then it got crazy. But I had a lot of time on my hand, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to start. I've never tried to write a song. I'm just going to see what I can come up with. So I was like, you know what? I woke up this morning for my shift, and like, there's a lot of these plant workers that are working 7-12s, and there's a lot of people that are working 9-5. So that's where the line came from. It's waking up for your shift, dark and foggy, air full of mist, working 9-5 or 7-12s. And I wrote that, and I was like, holy shit, that sounds good.
That sounds badass,
dog. That sounds good. And then I just kind of kept on going. And it was like, I kind of felt this little spark go off. I was like, all right, well, I'm going to kindle this. I'm going to build a fire with it. And I ended up finishing the song in like maybe 45 minutes. And I had the rest of the shift. I finished it by maybe 6 a.m. So I had the rest of the shift to just sit there and be like, man, I wish I had my guitar right now.
You don't have your shit.
Because you didn't. Because you really don't have a tune or something. You just like the lyrics.
Like, I knew the rhythm that I was going for and everything, but that night, a bunch of my buddies, we get together, and we drink whiskey, and that night we were getting together, and my buddy had a guitar, and I was like, as soon as I got there, I was like, I need to borrow your guitar for maybe 30 minutes. And it was one of those moments where it was like,
first try, everybody was like, "You wrote that?" And I was like, "Yeah."
This morning at 6.
This morning. And it was, that's where the story starts, really, man, is like, I wrote that song and had that confidence boost from people like, man, I like your song. And at our first show at the brewery, we played it and it fit in well. Everybody liked it. And at that show, former member or former guest on the podcast, John Teague, was there.
Yeah.
And
also another one, listen to the John Teague podcast.
Teague Brothers. Teague Brothers and all them. John was in town and he heard it. And he was staying with his cousin. So he invited us over and he's like, "Man, I want to hear your songs." I was like, "Well, I got one of them." I got one. And he pretty much told me, he was like, "Man, if you want to do this, you got to start writing." And 2 weeks later, Your Perfume is written and
solid.
Then the rest of them start coming. And that's pretty much how this whole thing kicked off.
That's awesome, dude. Your Perfume, we have a little bit of time left. I was just looking at the Your Perfume, like we were talking about a minute ago. That was your second song. And I've seen a lot, like, I'm no expert in all this, but usually, like, the first couple of songs that people write before they get popular, they kind of go to the wayside. But yeah, your second song that you wrote is now, like, starting to get a trend on Spotify. Yeah. I saw today has, like, 30,000 streams or something like that.
We're really close to 30,000. We're 200 away.
200 but away?
We can round up, dude, all day.
Hey, dude, I'm always round up.
Me too, man.
No, dude, that's a fantastic song. I just heard it here recently because I was listening to your, I shuffle through. I'm listening to stuff, and here a while back I heard that song, and I was like, "Son of a bitch, that's a good song." Yeah, and then I
appreciate it.
I was like, really, dude.
Josh, what do you do, like, full time work?
Man, so I work for an engineering firm right now. I work as an environmental science tech. So I work under a bunch of environmental scientists, and they're all great. They all support the music and everything, and really good people. Two of them are really avid hunters. So that I told one of them, I was like, "Man, you know, I don't really shoot ducks a whole lot, so you might have to help me out." And he was like, "Dude, if it flies, it dies."
No, we don't. Guy that told him that. Yeah. No, that's not why we had you on the podcast. I wasn't going to even ask you a hunting question.
I was just like...
And you were also telling me on the back porch to make a little extra money, you do a little distribution in fentanyl.
Yeah, man. I do the best deals in town.
Mushrooms.
Best deals in town.
No, that was a joke.
We sell them out of Cole Johnson's house.
Bullshit.
Sell them out of the shop.
Fentanyl. Yeah, if you buy a Bayou Dragon's hat tonight, you get your own...
Vent.
Dude. We're cutting on that. Cutting on that one. We're going to get past the fact that Josh is a giant fentanyl dealer. But so you've done some very big shows. I'm joking. We're really going to get into it. No. I wasn't going to leave you. I really wasn't going to leave you open like that.
To that being said, he's doing a very big show. A opening for Lucius and William Clark Green in about a month and a half in Port Neches, and it's going to be the absolute turn of the revolution for the.
Where is that taking place at?
It's going to be Port Neches River Fest. It's going to be us, Uncle Lucius, and William Clark Green. It's May 3rd. I believe we go on at 6. Uncle Lucius comes on after us, and then William Clark Green will headline it and take the night away.
I have a boner thinking about
it. Yeah, dude.
Show.
No, so yeah. I've seen
so good.
I've seen two of the three. I haven't seen you, so I can't say that.
Yeah.
But suck, I will say this. No, y'all are great at fentanyl. But I will say this. Uncle Lucius and people that, like, they might, there's a lot of people that are like, "I know songs, I don't know artists."
Yeah.
Keep the Wolves Away. Like, you should know what that song is on that. What was that show, Yellowstone?
Yeah, it was on Yellowstone.
Yeah, it was on Yellowstone. So, like, if you haven't listened to music, you've watched Yellowstone. Like, that song's kind of done its whole little, like, So everybody's heard this song now at some point, even if they haven't searched for it. Because, like, I've never seen an episode of Yellowstone, but I know a lot of people that have watched Yellowstone are like, dude, have you heard this one song? I'm like, yeah, I know the two people that wrote that song.
Yeah.
Like,
great song.
Great song.
It is.
And then William Clark Green, local hometown boy, basically.
Yeah.
And
essentially.
Essentially. Yeah. And I've seen him 3-4 times live, you know, acoustic.
The first time I saw William Clark Green was at the Stockyards at Billy Bob's.
Oh, really?
Man. Yeah.
That's pretty dope.
I enjoyed it.
What a perfect time to be at the Stockyards.
Yeah,
that really perfect time. Yeah, it was a great show. And, dude, I like the Stockyards a lot. There's a lot of shit to do out there.
Man, we got offered a show there this Saturday, but we had to turn it down because we're already booked. It was really sad. Where is that? Filthy McNasty's.
I don't know. See, I couldn't tell you all the places we went, but we kind of bounced around when we went. And what a good time. Stockyards.
Yeah, you're the guy that dips, right?
Yeah.
I heard that story.
But a guy approaches me in some bar we're in. He's like, oh, you're the dude that dips. I was like, yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably like, yeah, there's about 50 other people.
Yeah.
The rest of them. Well, that's good, though, that you're getting reached out by, like, you know, places like that, too. I mean, because that's a real big music scene. Like, we went for the Texas Trophy Hunters up in Dallas, and we're hanging around it's actually in Fort Worth, ain't it, technically?
I don't know.
I don't know. I really don't know the median, like the Dallas-Fort Worth. It's right there.
Fort Worth is better.
Yes, we agree.
There's definitely a fine line between Dallas and Fort Worth. And to say that you're going to go see this show or be in this Dallas area, Dallas is great, don't get me wrong, but it's a whole different scene.
Well, yeah, no.
Fort Worth has what it has, and it's got it going on.
There's
an underground scene in Fort Worth that would blow your mind.
It's fantastic.
It's incredible. And you don't have to go far. You walk next door, and you're blown away by the next band, the next band, the next band. And for the fact that this guy has an offer to go there, we're going to see something.
Yeah, I mean, you have between Fort Worth and Austin, for Texas, that's the two.
Yeah.
And then after that.
Probably San Angelo or like.
Yeah, Corpus. I'm just saying you have.
Hey, we just booked one in San Angelo. So.
Did you really?
Yeah.
That's so far away.
If you had to say, Cole, hours.
It's so far.
For like country music, and I'm not a Texas country music, but I would say like Nashville, Austin, Fort Worth. That's probably your three main ones that like for Texas country music that you would be like.
Texas country, red dirt scene.
Red dirt.
May throw OKC in there.
Nashville, Fort Worth, Austin.
Yeah,
that's probably your big three.
Austin always has been the live music capital.
Yeah, the Mecca.
World, it's the Mecca. But these days, really, to find the bands that you really want to go see, you have to go to Green Hall. You have to go to places south of Beaumont, like where we are right now. The scene here is better right now than it is in the majority of Texas.
Yeah.
We have some names that are coming out right now that are absolutely going to blow your mind. And you don't have to go far if you live here. But if you don't live here, you're not going to know until you pick them up on Spotify or you pick them up on iTunes or whatever media and that you want to find them in. But it's coming and it's big. And Texas is coming back on the scene and it's coming fast. And I mean, hell, the guy I'm wearing on my shirt right now is incredible. Jordan Nix, go see him. It'll blow your mind. It'll blow your mind.
There's a lot of guys
coming out of nowhere.
Yeah, no, we do have a lot of upcoming artists around. And I'm saying around this area, like within an hour of us, is like I consider my area. And there's some really good musicians coming up. Y'all are one of them. Y'all's band, JT Reserve, is going to be something. But, I mean, you have like just in our area, you have – John Teague, you have Rance May, you have JT Reserve, you have Running on Credit, you have
Old Lonesome.
Yeah, Old Lonesome.
You got Pug Johnson.
Pug Johnson.
Cousin Cal Cut.
Man, yeah.
And I want to harp on this. Pug has done a lot of good for us, and he is absolutely killing it right now.
Yeah, he is. He's playing somewhere here.
And that's, yeah, he's playing at the barn. He's playing at the barn.
Yeah. And he's also doing, and he also, I do respect this dude a lot. He does a lot of, like, benefit shit. So he's doing, like, the Hanser Finette graduation auction here coming up. Like, we donated a bunch of shirts and hats and stuff, and they're like, Pug Johnson playing at the deal. Yeah. You know, I'm like, that's awesome.
Pug's the reason why we got into the Hill Country to play shows. He invited me and Sage and a guy named Don Rollins, who wrote It's 5 o'clock somewhere, to come out and do a Southeast Texas takeover at this venue called the Screaming Goat, which is awesome. Yeah, in Bull Verde.
Bull Verde. Yeah.
That place JT is Reserve will be there June 22nd.
Place is legit.
June 22nd, the Screaming Goat.
Yeah. It's all dude, love it. It's super cool, man. Like, they've got an awesome outdoor stage, and then they got a little goat farm right next to it. And they got an awesome restaurant inside with an indoor stage.
And you eat the goats.
You don't eat the goats.
You see,
but they are the goat. Don't say that.
Goat tacos.
That's so funny because I've like, not saying like, but it's there's like, I know three or four different places in Texas that is like live venue places inside of a goat farm.
Yeah.
Really? Fredericksburg has one that like I went and watched. No idea. Oh, dude. Look, no one does.
Yeah.
I don't even know the name of this venue. I was just driving one day, back roading, like wine drunk, and I found this place with tacos. I drive up and there's 500 goats. There's a taco stand and there's a stage playing some local band somewhere around, like, you know, Luke and Bach, somewhere like that. And I was like, wow, these guys sound good as shit. These tacos are fantastic. I'm petting a goat.
Goat tacos.
Like, I'm talking, the whole situation was cool as shit. And I was like,
yeah.
I marked it. I was like, we're coming back. We have. Like, I've gone like two or three different times.
You have to.
I need to know, because me and my wife, we went to Fredericksburg for our anniversary, and we went to all the big wineries out there, but we want to go back, so I got to know about this spot.
Don't ask Porter. Porter don't know anything about Fredericksburg.
Porter can line you up with a house in Hatcher right outside of Fredericksburg that you'll open the cabinets and there'll be scorpions in it.
Yeah, I can do it all.
It's a good spot.
You want Johnson City? You want Hatcher? You want Luckenbach? You want Fredericksburg? Do you want...
I want them all,
Kerrville?
No, me and my wife went to Fredericksburg. I think it was like a year or two ago for our anniversary. And that Porter goes all the time, or he did, you know, there for a while. So I said, hey, man, what's some good spots to hit up? He sends me a notes, like, full of all these different wineries, restaurants, because, you know, he knows all the good spots. And all of them were pretty solid, man. And
yeah, I didn't think I would enjoy, you know, wine country.
Dude, that place is awesome.
It was a damn good time.
Damn good time.
A few times I didn't feel my toes at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But it's
absolutely legit. Like, if you have a chance to go to Fred, go. Right,
and we're
honestly, the last time we were there, you were there,
yeah,
with your wife, right?
Yeah, we go a lot,
and you were like, "Hey, why don't you just come stay with us?"
Yeah, and you came and stayed with us,
and we got hammered.
Yeah,
driving down some back roads through some cattle guards, and I was like, "Hey, why are we lost in the middle of somebody's ranch?" And she was like, "No," so at that point, I couldn't drive. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
And Kaylee's driving. She's like, why are we in the middle of a ranch right now? I was like, I don't know. This is where the map's saying to go. And then we show up at this house in the middle of nowhere. And Porter and Delaney and was it Doug? I guess.
I think Douglas. Doug was just solo and dolo in it.
And I'm to the point that I need anything of sustenance in my body whatsoever. And I just immediately walk to the pantry and go to open the door to get some bread. I just need something. And I open the door and I look down and there's a scorpion. Like, its tail is touching inside the gap of my thumb and index. Strike. And I was like, wow, Porter, you really know how to pick them.
Dog. I do.
You do.
You never would have found that place. You never would have found that place. You probably drove through like five Great Pyrenees.
We would have had no idea.
700 acres of cattle. Hey.
And then we had a badass weekend.
We had a great weekend.
Boozing on some vino and just having
a
ball-ass time.
Was that the one where we went to Doug's aunt's house?
We went to Doug's aunt's house and got absolutely belligerently blackout.
They make their own wine.
They make all of their own wine.
I want that name.
Hey, That house was 45 minutes from the first cattle guard, and there was like six more, and that was the slowest drive to the house I've ever had in my life.
Great time.
Leaving there was not the greatest.
Yeah, but we literally drove like a dirt road home, so if we would have wrecked, it would have been into a mesquite bush.
Yeah.
No one would have been harmed.
And we'd have probably ran over a fallow or something. And,
yeah.
And we'd have taken a deer home.
An axis
or whatever. It would have... That was an incredible experience. That was one of the funnest times I've ever had with you, Porter, and I really appreciate you being my friend.
Yeah.
You know what, Cole?
I like you, man.
You know what? That sounded gay. I'm sorry, guys.
No, it's fine.
No. Well, he's going to suck my dick later. So.
Mm-hmm. I got to go. No, but why I really wanted Cole to be on this podcast, and not because he's a good buddy of mine or whatever, but...
Not at all.
He is some call the president of the Steamboat Springs Music Festival in Steamboat, Colorado. President, mayor,
don't make his head
secretary.
Too big, man.
No. I'm not. I'm gonna bring him down a couple of levels. But yeah. Mayor, you know, vice president, whatever they want to call him. You know, he's won a Washer tournament there once, twice, three times, whatever, second a few times, fourth. You know, he gets rooms, and if anyone doesn't know what Steamboat Music Festival is, we're going to elaborate on it. It's
the Mecca.
It's cool as shit.
Cole, it's the Super Bowl of Texas music.
Why don't you kind of explain what the Steamboat Music Festival is?
And then I'm just adding this to your talk. Bring in Palermo into this.
Oh, actually, I'd love to start with the Palermo, but let me sum it up as fast as possible, right? So, Steamboat Springs, Colorado, 37, 38 years straight, Dixon Productions out of Austin, Texas, has been running this Texas Country Music Festival, and it's the Mecca. It's the Super Bowl of Texas Country, and they put you in front of 40, 50 artists. You've got 4 or 5 days. You've got ski in, ski out lofts. You've got everything that you could imagine. You go board or ski for 4 or 5 hours every day, catch the first chair, and catch a concert at 1. Like, and the concerts don't end till midnight. And then, you know, after midnight, if you're in the know, the real Steamboat starts, and there's some after-hour stuff that really blows your
name
mind.
Some of these artists, because I want people to know, like, how legit this shit is.
Oh, when you're talking Steamboat, you're talking everybody. You're talking anything from Roger, Kevin Fowler,
Treaty Oak,
Stoney Root, Treaty Oak.
Parker McCollum.
Go Wetzel. Been there a couple times. Shit. Parker McCollum, probably 4 or 5 years ago, Parker went and made a last... We were sitting... at a bar, which is, it's a venue. So there's 14, 15 stages, and it's all different venues. You could walk to everywhere or take a bus to get there. And they make everything as easy as possible. So once you pay and you get there, everything's handled. And we end up at, like, whatever bar
Timber
this
and
was.
Torch Timber and,
it used to be called, like, Bear Creek before Timber and Torch. It's Timber and Torch now. And we're sitting, like, third or fourth row. And it's me and Doug and Ford, and, like, it's a good group of buddies, and we're having a blast. And Parker has, like, 45 minutes before he has to play. So he goes and makes another run and shatters his collarbone. So Parker comes out probably an hour and a half in the show, and they have been piecing together these bands and these guys and this bass player for so-and-so and this guitar player for whoever. And y'all come sing some original stuff, and Parker comes walking out and –
a cast
in a
sling
in a sling.
It was just a sling. Jenkins sent me a photo of that.
Oh, Jenkins was
when it happened.
Jenkins always there, right? And Parker's in this sling, and he comes out. And he can't play guitar, so he's losing his mindset's off. Of course, probably because he's also on whatever to kill the pain. He had just shattered his collarbone, but he walks on stage and he's like, "I got one song for you, and this is it." And he sings One Headlight by the Wallflowers. And we're losing our freaking... with One Headlight, like, just getting
fantastic
absolute,
song, by the way.
Right. So that goes back to the basis of what Steamboat really is. Dixon Productions, John Dixon, the guys that run this show, absolutely nail this music festival. And it's probably the hardest music festival to get your hands on. Like, it's so hard to get in unless you know somebody that's going. You have to have a room leader. You have to have all this. But once you're there, you'll never leave.
For Texas country music, I think, like I said, if someone's going to call me a dickhead because I don't know, I'm saying Steamboat and Mile Zero Fest.
Yeah.
Down in Key West.
Top two.
Those are your top two.
Period.
And I'm saying that as like a fan. If I was a Texas country music,
Red Dirt
music fan, I would try to go to Steamboat Springs, Colorado, or I would go to Mile Zero Fest in Key West, Florida. Either one of them. One, you got the slopes, you can snow, you know, and you're going to have 50 fantastic bands.
You can snow it either.
Yeah, you can definitely snow down in Key West, but you got the same deal just on yachts, you know, like, yeah. And like my brother I've had on the podcast before, y'all can go listen to some of those. Like, he talked about it when he came back from Mile Zero Fest. He's done Steamboat, he's done Mile Zero. Mile Zero is more of his speed than Steamboat.
Yeah.
But
Steamboat's miles ahead in my book.
Yeah.
Same in my book.
Well, this...
I'm biased. I've never been to Mile Zero Fest.
Yeah. My brother's pretty chill.
Yeah.
Steamboat's not as chill as Mile Zero. It's
chilly.
So
it's chilly.
Yeah. You say that, though. Like, Steamboat's not... The music fest in Steamboat is not through the day. More chill than Mile Zero would be, but the after-hours activities, the shit that you can get into if you know where you're, like...
Yeah.
Steamboat's pretty fucking legit.
Oh, no, that's...
It's unreal.
I'm not going to take away from...
The atmosphere that you put yourself into, the people that you meet, the new names that you experience, the new vibes, watching this guy grab a guitar that's handed to him, and I'm not talking about, like, randomly handed to him. This is, like... Eric Middleton handing him a guitar so he can hand it to Jordan Nick, so he can hand it to, like, you sit on a couch and you watch these elite artists, these subliminal minds that know how to write music, that know really how to produce and how to lay some shit down, that it doesn't make sense to you until you hear it, and then you have to go listen again and go, wow.
Yeah.
Holy crap. This guy just blew my mind.
Yeah,
I didn't catch it at first, but I got to meet him or her and go re-listen to this on Spotify or whatever platform they're on, and you go, whoa. My life changed a little bit because I heard this song, and that's where the music fest, that's where Steamboat, that's what Dixon's doing, that's where I believe that going to the mountain is better than going to the beach. Because you have the opportunity to see some up close and personal, very intimate shit that absolutely will blow your mind.
Yeah.
But you don't know it's blowing your mind. You're in the moment. You're mixing a drink. You're having a good time. And then you wake up the next day and you go, wait, I heard this line. And I got to go find this guy or this girl. And then it happens. And you're like, damn, I'm hooked. I'm fucking hooked. Josh, am I wrong?
You're not. Most of the time, like, if you hear one of these artists playing, you try to go find them, and they might only have two songs out because they're in my boat. They're trying to get music out. They're trying to get their name heard. And that's one thing that was really big for us. When we went the first year, it was just me and my guitar and fiddle player. He switches from guitar and fiddle. And we were in one of those rooms, and... I was nervous as shit. There's actually a really funny story.
Oh, Rebecca and, Creek room. Just
this,
chilling with
this story, man. This was my first time ever being in one of those rooms. The jam's getting ready to start. Fowler's in there. Like, so many big names are in there, and they're getting ready to start playing. And I'm just kind of not trying to force my way in there.
What are you doing? Oh, you know me. Just hanging around. Beetlejuice.
So we're I'm standing there. I'm not trying to like force myself in there. And the guy that played the first song was like, so this is how this works, you know. He kind of started giving the spiel about how this room went. And Cole's brother goes, at the top of his lungs. He's like, "All right, equal opportunity. This Matt. Motherfucker needs to sing."
Matt.
And I was like, all of these people looked at me like they were supposed to know who I was. And I was like, shoot, yeah. And later on, I got my opportunity to go up there and play. And I think I played Your Perfume or Hardheaded. But while I was in there, I was playing, and y'all see it in the clip. I usually play with my eyes closed just because it kind of helps me get centered and stuff.
I noticed that when I was snapping some photos of you while you were playing. Every photo, your eyes were
closed. Get into it. But
oh yeah, bro.
I opened my eyes. And
you really got to get in there and close your eyes and like suck his dick.
Yeah, really feel it.
Really capture the moment.
I'm singing.
Feel it in your throat.
I'm singing one of these songs. And I open my eyes, and Tanner Ussery is standing right in front of me. And I'm like, holy shit, that's Tanner Ussery. I'd never thought I'd be in the same room as this dude. And the way that it works is you play a song, you hand the guitar off to the next person. And I was like, well, Tanner, you want to do one? He was like, yeah, it's a good-ass song.
And then he shits on like, everybody.
My trip's made. My trip was made. It was good. And then we went to the next room, and another person said something. And it's just the community out there is so good. And that's where I learned that, you know, music business is a really competitive place. But if you get to know the people that are in it for like the right reasons and just love writing songs and love playing music, they're going to talk to you like you're one of their own.
Look, and I've heard, I'm not saying in the way I think about it, our podcast is the lowest on the list on a podcast. I'm just saying, like, compared to other people that I listen to. But I listen to these bigger name podcasts, and they're like, what they say is, you know, other mostly comedian podcasts that I listen to. I just like listening to funny shit every day.
Same.
They're like, it's not a competition. The more, like, funny that we have out there,
yeah,
the more it helps each one of us. So, like all these other hunting, fishing, cooking, whatever you want to, I can't even say we're a hunting and fishing podcast because we're sitting here talking about Texas country music. We had a street chef on the other day, food truck, you know, mm-hmm. like we have whoever we want on. But if ours succeeds, I want someone else's to succeed. I want that to be the, so it's awesome that musicians would be like, look, if I'm doing good and then you're doing good, you have people that are listening to you that haven't heard this person, you know, and you find them. It's a whole giant human centipede.
And it kind of all comes together because, like,
the all human centipede.
Oh, like, God, yeah, hey, no, that doesn't come together that way.
Great way to sum it up.
Well, no,
you eat my shit, bro. And I'm yours.
That movie, I did watch that movie. Someone told me to watch.
You watched the whole thing, didn't you?
Well, someone told
me. You never even turned it off.
Someone told me years ago, hey, you got to watch this movie. So I turned it on.
You'll see titties.
It starts off, you know, it's interesting. It's a little thriller going. And then everyone knows the story. The deranged doctor captures these people. And then he sews the mouths to the rectum. And he forms this large centipede. And it's fucked up, man.
Four or five people.
It was on Netflix. Yeah. I started.
I'm not gonna lie. We do that on a random Saturday.
But I'm saying,
fucked up movie.
Look, I'm saying, is everybody is, you know, feeding off each other.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, everybody.
Y'all are all feeding off each other.
You have to eat crow, right?
Yeah.
I see where you're going.
Thanks, man.
You do have to eat crow to get where you're going. I guess at times, but. Sometimes
the man that produced that, like who came up with that movie, he's got something.
Look, you know what? I believe that was like in Night Shyamalan, like his brother, not the M guy, but the other guy.
Oh, L.
L, whatever his name. Yeah.
L Night Shyamalan.
Hey, those are fucked up people, dude.
Yeah. Hey, man.
To even think about, hey, let's sew somebody's lips to somebody's butthole. That's a bad deal.
But he fed into something else. Like, so you watch that and you're like, ugh. I can't watch that. I'm going to go watch Two Girls, One Cup. And I then mean, you watch that. But, and then you're like, I can't watch this. I need to watch this.
And now I'm a degenerate. Because I enjoy watching this shit.
Yeah. By the
I mean, I don't. But like, it, some people do.
Yeah.
You know, I don't.
Look, and look, no harm, no foul, dude. I'm not going to tell you what you can or can't watch. I'm not going to dog on whatever you watch. Because you know what?
We're not into freaky shit.
Cool for you. Yeah. But it's the same thing, but.
Yeah. Well, it kind of...
Come on.
Apart from the human centipede with that film, watch at your own risk.
Motion picture.
PG? It kind of all comes together even down PG-13. Here in the local scene, man. Like, our good buddy's running on credit. Like,
fantastic. Keep going.
Yeah, like, we play shows with them. And the way I see it is, you know, if they're doing good... That's good for us. And if we're doing good, it's good for them. If we can build each other up and we all have the same goals, why not each other out to get there?
I touch your butt, you touch mine.
It's exactly. Great. You eat my butt, I eat yours. But I said
touch, Porter. Calm down.
I was a little nervous because I didn't know, and I'm glad we've got to this, but we're going to have Sage Elmore on here soon.
Yeah.
He's the lead for Running on Credit. Y'all need to listen to them too. Same with JT Reserve. Gemma. If you listen to JT Reserve, it'll say people you might like, Running on Credit will pop on. But I was like,
actually, our number one like fans also might like.
Oh, fans!
So, So if you go to our Spotify, listen to all of our songs first, and then go check out Running on Credit.
Yeah. Plug yourself, dog.
You don't even have to eat butt first.
Like, yeah, you don't even happens. Have to. Yeah, you just have to. Yeah. But I don't want to. Talk about Sage or Running on Credit too much, just in case that, you know, I didn't know if y'all had any kind of sour
man,
beef.
That band is
some fentanyl beef.
No, that band is so fentanyl. Freaking good. Like, Sage to me is one of the best songwriters I know. And their whole band together just comes and just makes this music that you're like, man, I dig this. Like, I remember the first time I ever heard them and I was like, I'm hooked. I don't care if I have to go on YouTube or Facebook videos to listen to them. Like, I want to support these guys and they've supported us and we've packed out the tavern a time or two.
The tavern.
Out there, the best dive bar.
The best dive bar in Texas.
Yeah. That's the whole point is like, you know, we got to build each other up. And, you know, I know you were asking me, like, what I do during the week for work. And, you know, I have a lot of clients that are, you know, hours away. So, like, there's sometimes when I'm driving for 3 hours and I listen to a lot of podcasts when I do that. And I've listened to y'all's a handful of times. And there's one in particular that I listened to, William Clark Green. It was on the Jared Morris vibe, which Jared Morris is a badass artist as well. And he was asking him, you know, like, how did you feel whenever, you know, y'all were in the game for so long and Parker and Co. just kind of started passing y'all up on the bill. And, you know, at first you're like, man, like, we've been doing this longer. Like, we should be going up. But at the end of the day, you know, the more eyes that are on them, the better it is for all of us.
And so do you have any big shows coming up?
So we talked about Riverfest earlier, but we got a really big show coming up locally at this badass listening room called Seven Oaks Event Garden. They have been so good to us. Courtney, the lady that Rivier. Runs it. Yeah. She does such a good job of finding musicians, finding good songwriters to come in and just pretty much tell the story of the songs and in such like an intimate setting. It's really not a big venue. Our show is going to be outdoors in the garden. So it'll be a little bit bigger, but, I have nothing bad to say about that place, man. Like, I've gone to countless shows there, seen so many people that will just make you cry because you're listening to them and it's like, you're not allowed to talk. You just get to hear everything, every word, every note. The sound there is amazing. It's honestly one of the best venues out here. But we're playing there April 27th. You can get your tickets at Seven Oaks Events Garden. It's going to be great. We're going to play a lot of the new stuff. So be sure to get your tickets. Come out. There's going to be a dinner provided by Catherine and Company. So you'll get a good meal out of it. Get to hear some subpar music. It'd be great.
I would say you're a little bit above subpar.
Definitely better than subpar.
Well, I appreciate that. But yeah, no, we're going to be out there. It's right down the road from here, actually. It's going to be a good time. We hope to see some of y'all there.
I need to check that place out. I've heard good things. She brings in a lot of good local and, like, out-of-town talent.
Yeah, dude. Like, they had the Red Clay Strays come and play a show. Yeah,
I've heard that.
Tent Revival.
Some good stuff over there.
Yeah, and right. I've seen another artist that came through. His name was Cole Chaney. And, dude, that guy has just skyrocketed since we've seen him. And it's like, man, we got to see him literally, like, maybe 20 feet away. And it's just like, man, you get to know the person, and most of the time afterwards, like, they're at their merch booth and you can say hi to them and tell them which song was your favorite. And, like, as an artist, that's something that is really good to hear from other people. But also, like, as a songwriter myself, getting to go say what's up to Cole Chaney, yeah, or Jason Eadie or Midnight River Choir.
Right.
Like, it's something that you don't really get to do a whole lot. Like, don't get me wrong, I love going to shows at the Rice Festival or at Ford Park, and you get the whole shebang. But seeing somebody up there that wrote this song and it's just them and an acoustic guitar, or them and their band, it's so good. And it's also a good date night too.
I'm going to check that out.
That's one thing I'll say about this area is you travel a lot. I travel a lot. Especially to follow music, to follow these new bands and try to see what the new sound could be. And most places you go, it's an event center, or it's this arena, and it's, you know, thousands, hundreds or thousands of people, and they're all singing the music and they're all having a good time. And that's a blast. But when you go to a venue like Seven Oaks or Corville's or one of these places around here,
yeah,
that make you sit down and they feed you a good dinner and you get a bucket of beer and you sit there and listen to the story behind the song, and then you hear the song and then you clap and cheer and you give all the praise, and then they do it again and then they do it again, and it really entwines you. It makes you the appreciation that it gives you for what they've done to be in the place that they are, to be in the place that you are, right? Because most of the places that you travel around the country, they don't have this. They don't have the low-key, I'm going to sit in a chair and listen to you sing, and I'm going to clap when you're done, and I'm going to give you praise, and I'm going to give you whatever. The artist has to feel like something special right there, right?
Yeah.
Like, when you go play a big show and people clap in between songs, and then you just start another song, it's one thing, but when you have the opportunity to sit down on a bar stool and strum a little bit and sing
and talk
and talk and tell the story, it's got to make you feel so good. Because they love it so much, right?
I'll give Seven Oaks the – I'm a huge Corville's guy.
Like, love Big Rich.
Big Rich, Corville's, love they it. Do it right.
Excellent food, by the way, too.
Excellent food.
And love barbecue. And love Courtney and love Seven Oaks in the rabbit hole.
Yeah, like, no, but – I was going to get to that, but, like, I had heard about the Seven Oaks, and I was like, there's no one that can do it like Corville's. I've been in so many intimate, like, rooms with artists. Like, I've seen Shane Smith and the Saints. I've seen Midnight River Choir. I've seen Zach Wilkerson. The list goes on. Like, insane. I actually have a funny one with you, Cole, which I've been 38 times with you, but I was like, you know what? Cole actually got me and my wife tickets to go see Kevin Galloway at Seven Oaks. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. We'll go. And I think it was actually like you gave it to us for our anniversary gift.
It was a present.
It was a present. You just said, look, hey, I got two tickets to Kevin Galloway. So that's perfect. I said, that works out to be my anniversary gift. And you go, Well, then it's a present then. So, like, yeah. I ended up...
Don't tell her I gave it to you. Just give it to her.
She won't listen to the podcast. Don't worry. She has no clue. But, so, like, I got two free tickets that I bought for my wife to go see Kevin Galloway. And I was like, you know what, Courtney? And I know Courtney. Like, I went to school with her daughter, graduated with her. Like, I've known her for a long time. Great family, great husband, you know. But I was like, this is actually a badass setup. It was a very intimate, concert. I enjoyed the shit out of it, you know, because we were just hanging out, drinking wine, eating a charcuterie board.
Charcuteries.
And cherishing Kevin Galloway. And I was like, this is awesome. Like,
yeah,
brilliant. Y'all have done a...
You think that you are in Fort Worth, or you think that you're in Austin, Texas.
I don't, because I've never been to Fort Worth or Austin where I've been in that kind of situation. I watched Kevin Galloway with like 75 people, and everybody was quiet. There was not a, like, he told his story before each song. He told what, like, this is how I wrote the song.
This is where it came from.
Yeah. And then he sang a song, acoustic, just by himself, did it, got done. Everybody clapped. And he's like, it's intimate. And that's how Corvilles is too. And if you are local, if you can acquire tickets, which it's hard because people that are ticket holders don't want to get rid of them. Like, I've been 40 times because of people like Cole Johnson who get tickets, and he's not giving them up because you don't want to miss that situation. But if you can ever get them and experience that, it's surreal. And, like, you get to talk to the people afterwards. You get to, like, max 100 people in one room listening to Shane Smith and the Saints just doing their thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's affordable. You get dinner. And then...
Yeah, it's like 50 like bucks. Like you said,
55, 75, depending on what it is, who it is. But at the same time, like, no one... I don't think anyone else nationally has the opportunity. I mean, there has to be listening rooms around town, right?
Yeah.
Any town you're in. But... We traveled to New Braunfels. We traveled to Ruidoso. We go places to see people. We go to Red River. We do all these festivals. We follow and try to see the best music possible. And we want to hear the stories about why the music is. And 90% of the time, you can't unless you're in these rooms.
Yeah. And they're
that goes back to what I'm saying about Steamboat. It's like, when you're in those rooms, you hear these stories about...
Enjoy it.
Well, I mean, and that's what they've done with that fest. That's why I would say you do the Steamboat thing over the Mile. I don't want to dog on Mile Zero. I really don't.
Yeah.
It's a badass festival. It's cool as fuck. But you're not going to get the intimate experience
that
we get and that we're fortunate to get locally and near here. And if anyone is ever traveling to this area... and it's a Thursday night, and you want to see something cool, grab a ticket to Corvilles. Grab a ticket to Seven Oaks.
Yeah.
Grab a ticket to Nature's Brewing. Nature's does listening rooms.
Yeah.
Like, Duhon comes to town,
and
they sell tickets. And the
old dude.
This guy just walks in the door, and you're like, wow, who is this? And then he fucks your ears so goddamn good that you come in your pants. It's fucking insane how good the music is around here.
He is stupid.
It's stupid. And we've got one of the best sitting on the couch, and he can agree. Like, some of the art that comes through this area
is dumb. Is
absolutely unheard of. And some of the guys that I'm talking about are actually major influences on him. And the fact that they give us the time after the show to go and have a true fan experience, not this fanboy, fangirl.
Take a photo. Here's an autograph.
Not this, I want to suck your dick kind of experience. Take a picture and leave. Like, I'm going to answer your questions. I want to be around you situation. It's pretty badass.
You know what my most memorable one was? And he's now became a pretty big name in the Texas country music. Was, and I don't think any of us had heard of him at the time. And I don't remember who he opened up for because I've been to too many now. But the time William Beckman came through.
Standing O opening show
but,
at Corvilles for Roger Craiger.
What? Oh, so they just go, like, we don't know who, and Corvallis does that. Like, they're like, okay, this is the guy. We don't know who, it might be a local, it might be somebody.
Yeah.
They go, this kid, William Beckman, was playing in Louisiana. He's coming through tonight.
We caught him on the drive-by.
The drive-by. Well, so, and I've seen William Beckman now like 5 times. He's fantastic. They're like, William Beckman, he is my age. He's like almost 30 years old, but he's so drunk. Like, that, we've never seen this guy in our life. There's just two dudes walk him up, set him on a stool, and have to carry the guitar to him. And he's sitting there just like, and I'm like, oh my God, this is about to be shit. I tell you, that was probably the second best. That was probably that was the second best opening act I've seen at Corvallis, behind Zach Wilkerson.
It blew,
dude.
Everyone's.
He just
wait. Were you there when Zach Wilkerson played the last time?
Oh yeah,
the last time,
like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
We opened up for him.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh this shit.
This was that guy. That guy opened for the first time at Corvallis for Zach Wilkerson.
Hey, I'm sorry.
You
Zach,
heard it here first, dude.
Hey, dude. Zach Wilkerson is. He made my panties wet, dude.
He made me cry.
Dude, he was so good. But
my dick was hard.
But, no, William Beckman came out. I was like, there's no way this dude's going to be able to play. And
five,
he just...
5'3", 120 pounds,
ding, 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 and just...
Well, I wish I...
Like, yeah.
Fuck, what the fuck?
Yeah. Dude, I was like, he played like 3 or 4 songs, and then they came back out, picked him up, like grabbed his guitar. Like, he couldn't walk. He was so wasted. And I was like, I even respect him more.
Right. Yeah.
Because he came out, couldn't even read. Picked a 6-string, played beautiful music, and then got carried off stage.
And then got in his 4Runner and drove back to Del Rio.
like, dude, it was fantastic. But
it was impressive.
It was very impressive.
Standing, like, full standing O.
Yeah, we're just like, oh my God. Who's coming on next? I forgot.
Right.
Like, one of those, like.
So, one thing that you'll see coming soon, these guys have that. Like, that's, their new album is going to blow your fucking mind. And I've heard a few of the songs. You heard a few on the back porch a while ago. Was it not? I'm asking you.
No, it was damn good. And when I see that, and very blessed to be able to see that, you know, in person, acoustic on my own back porch, it was awesome to see in person, you know, before its release and everything. It's going to be awesome.
It means the world, man. It really does. Because, like, whenever, you know, I write these songs, it's, you know, there's some songs that I write that I'm like, okay, this song is for me. Like, I don't care if it's popular or anything. I'm writing this because this is what it means to me.
Sometimes those are the best ones, though.
Exactly. And and a lot of these songs that are on this new record, I felt like were for me. But then once we're in the studio and we're chomping away at them, it's like, man... And not to toot my own horn or anything, but, like, I don't think there's a song on this record that people are going to be like, man, I hate that song. Like, I genuinely think when you play the record, everybody's going to have, like, their one song that they love from it. But it's kind of what I want, because I want it to be well-rounded, you know, like... We're not really, you know, a honky-tonk band. You know, we play that Texas style, which kind of comes off as, you know, alternative country kind of. And that's one thing that I love about the Texas scene is there's so many.
You can kind of do your own thing.
It's an umbrella, man. Yeah. It's so cool.
Look, and I hope, like, I didn't hear all of them, but I hope it's like, and, like, there's, like, certain albums that you're saying, like, that you listen to that is, like, there's not a bad song.
Yeah.
And it's like the original Turnpike, Goodbye Normal Street.
Cool.
Yeah.
Tell me there's not a good song on there.
Tell me there's a bad one.
You exactly. are dumb.
I will debate you and I will bury you.
Limestone Kid, Parker McCollum's first album. Fantastic. Like, and I'm not trying to be like, yeah, Parker McCollum's huge now. Were you listening to him back then? I remember getting introduced to him when he was playing at the Labelco Crawfish Festival down here in Southeast Texas. He didn't even have an album yet, and I'm like,
playing on a fifth wheel trailer.
The first time I heard,
with a hay bale,
he's playing on a fifth wheel. The first time I heard of him, Doug Morrison had a video of him on my phone or on his phone, and
blowing
goes
in your mind.
He goes, dude, this kid here, this Parker McCollum, I'm like, wow, this guy's good. And then now he's, you know, everybody's trying to suck his wiener. And I will say this, we did have a...
I'd probably suck his wiener.
We did have a good time, me and Mitch, with old Parker one night. Because the one thing, Justin Jenkins, he will be on the podcast here soon. He's buddies with all these people.
Right.
First, you know, different reasons. He's I've met a lot of cool artists and musicians and cool people with him. But he's like, I was playing, like I saw him at Altiz. He's like, hey man, come to the house, whatever. I was like, cool.
Come to the farmhouse.
Yeah, come to the farmhouse. Just like a normal Thursday. I show up and he's, Parker McCollum's there.
Normal Thursday.
Man, normal Thursday, Parker McCollum's there. I'm
blackout
like,
drunk, going all to the farmhouse.
Yeah, and this
normal
is
Thursday.
Normal Thursday. Normal Thursday. And it's Parker McCollum, but it's after his first album just got big. But it was only after his first. So I was like.
He played at Dixie that night.
He played at Dixie Dance Hall.
Oh, we were all there.
Mitch.
Separately, but we were all there.
Yeah. Well, I didn't go.
Well, that's your fault.
I didn't go because I was at the farmhouse.
Yeah. Josh was there. I guarantee. We didn't know each other then.
I don't know if I was old
if you were there,
to be there yet.
If you were there and you remember, he gave Mitchell a shout-out.
He gave me a shout-out because I was
I didn't know Mitchell.
I frequented the Marsh Bar and Winnie.
I was all I could say was like, who the fuck is this Mitchell guy?
When, Altiz, you know, used to be open. They had the Marsh Bar, and I was in there, and Parker came in. I was sitting at the bar. He came and sat next to me. We were bullshitting, and he was like, you coming to the show? I'm playing at Dixie. I was like, I was thinking about going. He was like, all right, you got free tickets at the door. I was like, cool, I'll be there. Sure enough, I show up at the door. I was like, Parker said I was supposed to get in free, gave my name, free of charge. And anyway, we were in the crowd hanging out, whatever, listening to the show. And he was like, shout out to my boy Mitch. He showed up. Drank a couple beers at the Marsh Bar. Glad you're here, man.
And then cool. After that, Mitch calls me and goes, dude, Parker McCollum gave me a shout out. I said, cool. By the way, come to the farmhouse. Parker McCollum's going to come. So we're sitting here driving golf balls into the cattle pasture, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And what's funny to me, and it's not, and I'm saying this in like I've got to do a lot of this cool shit, especially because my brother is a musician, and I meet a lot of cool people that it's not like you don't get starstruck, you know. But there is people that get starstruck over that kind of shit.
Oh, yeah.
And we're hitting golf balls and shit, and I put a Snapchat story and put Parker McCollum like sucks asshole.
Parker McCollum sucks
like,
at hitting a golf ball.
And I swear to God, I had 300.
He could probably shoot the J, but he can't hit a fucking golf ball.
I had like 300 people like Snapchat me trying
to
get
Parker. If you're listening to this, I'll outdrive you every goddamn day.
You will that. He's terrible.
100%. He's terrible. But
he's
gotta be.
I had
you
so
can't
many
hit a golf ball in J's, bro.
It was so funny. So we had so many like people like reaching out, trying to like come hang out. And I'm like, you are such a cocksucker. Like people that don't Snapchat me at all, like saw my story, were like, hey bro, how do I get out there? I'm like,
how do I come out there?
Just ignore.
I want to talk.
Yeah. What?
But like dudes saying that. Right?
What's mostly dudes?
Mostly
dudes.
Mostly dudes just trying to get in. And
maybe. What was great? And so, I'll give all credit to my wife on this one. So my wife's like, she was with me. Everybody started showing up or whatever. We were like the first ones there. And she goes, Parker McCollum's coming. I goes, yeah. She goes, I'm literally going to not acknowledge him once tonight. I'm going to act like I've never met him before or ever heard his name. So, like, Parker McCollum shows up after the Dixie Dance Hall. And he's like, you know, everybody's like hanging out, you know. And I'm like, yeah, no, I've heard of you. And he walks up to my wife. He's like, she's like, Delaney Crowder. And he's like, this is before we're married. But he's like, Parker McCollum. She goes, Parker McCollum.
Who?
And she's like, he's like, I play music. And he said, I play music. And she goes, I've never heard of you. Like straight up big dick the shit out of him. She's like, oh, I just played at Dixie. She's like, never been there. Like straight up all night ignored him. And even when we left, she was like, well, it was very nice meeting you. What was it? Parker?
Parker.
Like, I was like, thank you.
I can remember.
I'm going to marry you now.
I can actually remember the night that the bash happened. And it wasn't supposed to be big, right? It was supposed to be a low-key, intimate, Parker's coming to the farmhouse kind of situation. Sorry, Justin, if this is a problem, but 1,000 fucking people come rolling down the dirt road, and we're freaking out. And I'm This is a long time ago. Don't judge me for this, but I'm on the back porch just rolling blunts because nobody can, right? And everybody wants to. I just became that guy. I was like, okay. And like Murph handed me a bag of weed and a bunch of fucking blunts. And I was like, cool. Here we go. Roll them all, I guess, right? There's a dozen blunts here and there's an ounce of weed. Let me figure this out. And start throwing them around. And it's just passed around. And then Parker disappears for a little bit. He comes back and whatever. But I can fondly remember how much fun we had that night based on the fact that I clearly remember driving. Because I lived in Winnie at the time. And I was driving back to my house down like 1410, right? And I'm going over the bridge over I-10 and I'm one-eyed. And I am losing my absolute mind. And it's like 4 o'clock in the morning. I was like, why am I doing this? You know, my wife's going to kill me. What happens? Blah, blah, blah. And I get home and she's like, where the fuck have you been? Typical shit that you would experience, right? Because she wasn't there with me. And I was like, well, you know, I've been hanging out with Parker. And they played at Dixie tonight. And they ended up at the farmhouse. Justin invited us over, blah, blah, blah. And I've been rolling blunts, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, wait. You, like, 9 times out of 10, she's so mad, period, which it's the next thing now. But at that point in time, she was like, wait, you didn't tell me that Parker was coming. Like, she would have got out of bed and got
she got up. Mad.
She would have got out of bed and because got so dudded up to come. And, like, and that guy was so big, so fast, and... I mean, I think, honestly, the reason we're here is because we believe in this dude right here, and it's going to happen. And everything that we're saying, Josh, right now, it's so much fun for everybody involved.
Yeah, don't forget the little people.
But don't, yeah.
Like he'll forget we're, us.
Hey, bro. I feel like I'm with the big times right now, man.
Hey, bro, we're still here, and you're going to strike some gold in this next album. One or two songs especially that I've heard absolutely will people are going to want to like fuck with you good or bad. They're going to be there and you're going to get all of the good vibes and all of the animosity. And you're going to have the same situation where like, hey, this guy's playing in the middle of nowhere and 1,000 people are just going to show up and you're just going to have to be the dude that deals with it. And do your own thing and stay true to who you are and write the songs that you keep writing because we love your music.
I appreciate it.
I love your music.
Very well said.
Yeah. And I do have full faith. After, like I said, after hearing you live today, I was like,
damn.
I was like, son of a bitch, he has it. Like, damn, because I heard it on Spotify, you know, I've been listening to you on Spotify. I'm like, this dude's really good. But after hearing you today, after you, like, gave us a mini concert on the back porch, talking to us, telling us, like, what this song means to you or what this song was about and shit like that, that you would do in a big crowded situation, I was like, yeah, this guy got it.
Well, man, and I really appreciate that, but, like, I can't take full credit because, like, without my band, you know, we do a lot together and... especially when it comes to the live show, man, like those guys, like if I didn't have them up there, I don't, it give wouldn't those, be the same thing.
Name
man.
All of them out.
Give all the love to Troy and Zach and everybody else.
Yeah, man. So on guitar and fiddle, we got Troy Laughlin from Beaumont, Texas.
Woo!
On the bass guitar, he's our newest member. I think he's from Mid County. I don't know which part of Mid County. I'm just going to call it Port Arthur. His name's Shelby Balsano, kills it on the bass. On lead guitar, we have Caleb Broussard.
Caleb.
Taco.
He Broussard. Went to school in Hampshire, Texas.
Yeah. And then on the drums, my best friend, he was the best man at my wedding. His name's Zach LaBeouf. He's from Mont Belvieu, Texas. We lived together for a year and a half, and we've been through some shit together, and like it's my ride or die. And like when we're all together, like when we play, it just there's some sort of like, I don't want to say magical feeling and make it sound weird, but it's like magical. It's just like
it's magical,
man. It's so connection. Much fun.
There's a
it's
connection.
So much fun.
There's a vibe there. Oh, you can see it happen. I've seen them a lot, and from the first time they played that I actually was there in person to watch them play and to now, how tight the band has gotten, how tight the music's gotten, how much better they've been. They don't miss a beat. Everybody's dialed in. Josh on vocals is just absolutely hammering the shit. At the same time, this Zach guy, like, he's fucking out there drumming in some shorts and looking fly as fuck, and he's single, so ladies, like, go after him. Sorry, Kaylee from wherever, but...
Oh, shit. Well, yeah.
But, no, he is. I don't understand it. Like, the whole band from day one to now, which has been, what, 2 years?
So we've been playing full band 2 years.
2 years since day one. And within a year, we met in Steamboat. Like, yeah. We really first hung out in Steamboat. And the first time we hung out in Steamboat, we ended up at Double Diamonds on some open mic stuff. And you ended up with a private show.
Yeah.
The next day.
Yeah. Old Dean from Louisiana hit us up again.
Dean from Lafayette. That was a really
funny. That's actually a really funny story.
We're going to tell the story. But, like, the growth that I've watched from day one, from them live on stage to day 700, I guess, 2 years later, whatever, has been astronomical. These guys are moving so fast to where the sound hasn't changed. They still have the same vibe, but they're so tight. They don't miss. They're so good. And
means a lot.
And that's what keeps me coming back. Other than the fact that he's one of my best friends now, right? He's 11 years younger than me. He's a young buck. But there was a mesh in the music. And I think that's what he's talking about. Even on stage, they all meshed in the music, and it happens that way. It happens that way for fans too, right? So yeah. you see this band that really clicks with you, and you stick with it. And we've all been through that. And this is a band that I've clicked with, and I've stuck with, and I love these guys.
But, Josh, so you have the River Fest coming up soon.
Yeah.
Like, very soon. I don't know how soon.
What are the dates of the River Fest?
We're playing May the 3rd.
Mother's Day weekend.
Yeah, May 3rd.
Are we off that weekend? I need to check the schedule
May
and see.
The 3rd?
If you're there, you're going to get off that weekend.
I would love to set up a booth at River Fest. I think we would do really good there.
I think you would too, because there's already... Man, even we played last year on Thursday night, and this is no lie, dude. There's so many Bayou Dragons hats.
Yeah,
I love seeing Bayou Dragon hats and
so
in public.
Many
dragons. Dude, what's
hats.
Great?
I was at the fair last week. I saw quite a few, and I was just like, I walk by, I see one. I'm just like, hell yeah.
Hey, I'm not going to lie. The other day, we're on the fishing on the lake, and there was a family, and it was definitely a dad, son, grandfather combo. And the son, the son was probably like 12 or 13. And he, like, I'm not going to say this is for sure. But he, like, we drove by, and I was wearing a Bayou Dragon fishing shirt, a Bayou Dragon hat, you know, the whole get up. I always do. I rep the brand that I want to succeed. And he leans over and, like, points at me and is talking. I'm like, he's probably saying, I think that guy works with the Bayou Dragon. Like, it was in that situation, like, he definitely knows who we are, which is cool as shit, because I'm 2.5-3 hours away from where I live, you know, and I've got photos from Cole from different places. Remember the Missoula, Montana?
Dude, yeah. Missoula, Montana.
I think I heard this story. Wild.
Yeah. Comes walking by a random bar. Hey, wait, are you guys the Dragons? I was like, no, he's the Dragon. Like, I don't know who you are, but we'll take a beer. Yeah. You want to buy a shot? Cool. But yeah, random bar, no air conditioning, downstairs. Shithole bar, right? Downtown.
Enjoyed the trash out of it, though.
Downtown Missoula, Montana. It was like, hey, do y'all got some Rainier beer? And they were like, yeah, we got that. And then it was like, yeah, we got some fucking Bayou Dragon.
It was great because you were wearing a Bayou Dragon hat, and he goes, Bayou Dragons, I love their shit. Yeah. And you're like,
yeah.
That's him.
I'm with one of the guys.
Dude, I think we even saw people at Steamboat wearing Bayou Dragons
look,
hats.
I know I was wearing one.
I wore one during our show. So
hell yeah,
dude. Yeah, that's why we were talking about. I was like, hopefully he wears this like for like a show or something.
No, this is a one time.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm joking. Yeah, I'm just trashing
it. He's gonna burn it
on the way home. He's gonna throw it out the window.
I do really hope that guy from Missoula is like listening to this or watching.
That'd be cool.
This.
Like, well, we've talked about it before on the podcast. Like, I've met multiple people, but like the most random was in like Montana.
Montana.
Missoula, like, Montana. Not Missoula, but like I'm talking.
Oh, like my, back, like way up.
Back road, farmland, like in the middle of nowhere, Montana. We got
going car. Hunting.
We're scouting the field. I've told the story on the podcast before. Guy backs up. Hey, I know who you guys are. I follow y'all. I'm just like,
that's cool. Ass. Like we're in the, we're in a literal city population of like
seven.
Maybe. Like seven, maybe.
Negative two.
Like there's, that's the temperature.
That's the temp for sure.
And that the year that we were there was probably negative two. And he was just like, man, I follow y'all stuff. And I was like, that is cool. Cause we're in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. We're on a back road in nowhere land. And this truck kept driving by multiple times. We're like, we're about to get cussed out by a farmer, something. And this big F-250 rolls his window down. It's like an 18-year-old kid. And he goes, dude, buy you dragons. Love you shit. It's like, dang. Damn. I wish I knew your name, but
yeah,
you know what? If you're listening to this,
he was 18 and Montana's probably like Colton with two eyes or something.
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
Dang.
Colton Ranger.
Colton.
With no G.
Colton with two eyes.
Yeah.
Maybe like, yeah, Ranger would be cool. Or
yeah.
Like Brigsby with like
Brigsby.
Three
G's. Yeah. Brig Gigsby.
Welcome to the new world.
Yeah. But so you have Riverfest. You have a new album coming out.
Yeah.
We've heard a little bit of that. When's the new album coming out?
Man, we don't have a date yet. We don't have a date yet. We went and recorded these songs the first two weekends in February, and our producer that we worked with, man, is just he just knows what he's doing. And we should be getting some mixes back soon, and we'll see if we got to change anything or if we got to do anything, but Hopefully by summer we'll be releasing a single, and then it'll start flowing after that.
Look, for your hope, my hope, I hope that it gets big enough where you can leave your 9-to-5 job.
Man, it would be cool.
I hope to God, like I'm going to pray for you tonight that you get to leave that, because I do that all the time for us, you know?
Yeah.
It's a far stretch. I do appreciate everybody that has supported us and, you know, followed us along this trip that we've done. But I would love to be able to just do apparel and do podcasts and do that shit. But that's what a lot of people do. A lot of people want to do that. But I see, and I don't want to sound like I'm, you know, sucking your wiener right now, but you have a talent. You're a great songwriter. And after hearing you today, you know, on the back porch, like, this dude got it.
Man, I really do appreciate that, man. Like, it really does mean the world. Me personally, like, I've only been writing songs for 3 years, and I can't wait to see, you know, what in the next 3 years, what's to come and everything. And it's all a craft, and it's all a grind too. Like, y'all are killing it by, you know, y'all are working shift work in the refineries out here, and y'all probably get home deadbeat tired, but you got orders you got to fulfill and podcasts to do. And it's the same thing with us, man. Like, we'll work, and, you know, everybody in the band has different jobs, but, you know, sometimes we're getting off at 5 and hauling ass to a venue to go play a show. And, you know, now it's getting to the point to where we're like, okay, we got a show in the Hill Country on a Friday night. We got to leave by a certain time, getting a F-150 with a trailer and haul ass to make sure we get there.
Yeah.
But like I was saying, you know, you gotta remember to enjoy the journey of part of it.
Yeah.
Or on the way for it. So
yeah, you got to, man, because you never know. I'm not saying it's going to for y'all or for us, but it could end at any moment. So you might as well enjoy what you have now. And right now, y'all are living it up. I mean, y'all are about to do some really big shows coming up. Y'all are about to open up for some really big names. And, I mean, that's fun.
Yeah, dude. And it's kind of come full circle for me because, like, I have two really big influences in the Texas scene, and that is, you know, Shane Smith. I think Shane Smith and the Saints, they put on one of the best live shows you could ever go to.
Fantastic.
But he also, like, Shane doesn't do this alternative rock style. Like, he has his own thing that he has cultivated, and it's so cool to see, but it's authenticity. And then, you know, I'd say my biggest influence is William Clark Green. And so now that I get to, you know, open up for him, like it kind of comes all full circle, you know, like,
yeah,
I'm busting my ass and the band's busting their ass, and, you know, we shoot for the moon, and it's cool whenever, you know, we get to land these cool shows.
Yeah.
And for this one, I'm stoked. We've got to open up for some amazing people. Like, we did a show with John Stork and Pat Green last year, and it was a blast. We got to open up for Cody Canada and The Departed, and that was a blast. Like, yeah, it's fantastic. Just like, we got to just keep, you know, pushing it, and who knows, eventually somebody will be like, man, we got to open up for JT Reserve.
Yeah.
And that'll be another full circle.
Look, and that'll be a full circle. I'll be like, look, we had Palermo on the podcast, episode 52, back before he was big time and forgot about
hopefully we do a, Dragons. Hopefully we do another podcast on a tour bus.
Don't forget
cool.
about us.
Tour bus, I would love to do that. Let's do it.
I'll offer to buy us a trailer, man.
Dude, come on.
Dude, our trailer is a piece of shit, man.
I won't say ours is. Ours is
y'all's
nice.
Is pretty
ours
nice.
Ours is pretty
man.
Nice. But, dude. Like, you know, just like anybody, we grind.
Yeah.
You grind.
This is what you got to do.
You got to grind. You got to be willing. And this is for the listeners. I do get this question a lot, like, from, like, other younger people that are trying to start brands and shit. And I'm not against other people starting the same kind of content that we are, because, like I was saying earlier, it helps.
Yeah.
If you succeed, I succeed.
Exactly.
Not saying we're anywhere near, like, a Sitka or Drake or anything like that, but someone sees a video of Sitka, you know, they post hunting videos, then it's like Drake waterfowl hunting videos, and then this hunting videos, and then down the line they're like, oh, there's Bayou Dragons, they're shooting Canada geese up in North Dakota or whatever. You know, it's a full circle of we all help each other. So I would love to see that. I can't wait till you succeed,
man.
And then
that really, I know I've said it a lot. It does mean a lot. And it really does mean a lot to even be asked to be a part of this podcast, man. Like, I've been listening to y'all for about a year now, and it's just cool for somebody that doesn't know shit about duck hunting or hunting in general, just to, like, even hear episodes about Rance May, man, you want to kill Gator, man. You can call me.
We keep the podcast pretty broad, man. And Porter's done a good job of, you know, you can't keep it for us. Just there's only so much you can talk about when it comes to duck hunt, you know?
Yeah.
So we try to have everybody we can on, keep it interesting, entertaining for the viewers. And I think they like that too. You know, it's not just hunting. It's, you know, food truck guy came on, you know, a couple weeks ago, you know, just all over the place.
I think
that makes it fun.
I think Ted Cruz is hopping on soon.
Oh, really?
Donald Trump, maybe. I could be wrong.
Greg Abbott rolling in?
Yeah, Greg Abbott.
Rolling in.
I pushed the mic away for a minute, but if Ted Cruz is coming, I'm coming back.
Yeah. Yeah, I just...
Give me a debate real quick.
Yeah, no.
We're going to agree about a lot of things.
And then we're going to disagree about a lot of things.
And then we're
going to
disagree about a whole lot of things.
Yeah, I just... But I really do appreciate, Josh, you coming on tonight. Cole, thank you for coming in, stepping in as the fourth, and, you know...
This has been great.
You're more than welcome to hop...
expectations. Look, I was invited to just kind of be here, be aware, be in a corner, do whatever, to step on a mic, to, one, get a steak dinner with fucking roasted corn and potatoes.
So good.
and all the Miller Lite I could drink, and I didn't realize how much was put in.
It's a good time, man.
Yeah. It's a fucking great time, dude. This has been the highlight of my month. And good. And to say it's a highlight of my month, it's early in the year. This is behind my, like, of the year so far for me. This has been an absolute pleasure. I appreciate y'all for letting me be here. I'm kind of probably hammered drunk right now on the old fashions and whatever.
Thank you for the old fashions, too.
I feel like I may be talking out of my ass a little bit, but at the same time, I really appreciate you guys for what y'all do. Understand the grind that you're going through. I may not be in the same grind, but we're all in a grind, right?
And everybody's in a grind.
And to wake up every morning believing in what you're doing and
matters,
and where you're going, and it matters to you, right?
Yeah.
So, and there are naysayers that are like, fuck you, this sucks. Fuck those guys, dude. We're not those guys.
Yeah, those guys can suck my erected shaft.
Those guys can... Those guys can count the fucking wrinkles on my asshole.
Jesus.
Fuck those guys, right?
I agree.
But hey, I love what y'all are doing. I've loved it for a long time. I've been a Dragons fan forever. I've been a JT fan since day one. And where this is right now compared to where it was a couple years ago and where it's going, this is, like, it's been a highlight of my life at this, not my life, full life, but of the year, of the month, of the week, of whatever. It's been a real pleasure for me to actually be on a mic here and spill some beans about how good these guys are, where they're going, where I think they're going, the music that I've seen, the scene that I've been around, and how well that y'all have appropriated yourselves into the atmosphere that you're in. Like, you're living in this realm that no one else really exists.
Yeah.
And I've always lived in that realm, and I've been looking for a place to listen and to be a part of, and now we're here, right? This is pretty fucking cool, guys. This is amazing. It really is. Y'all are doing such a good job.
Well, what a pleasure and what a treat to host both of you, Cole and Joshua, this evening. Y'all make sure to check out JT Reserve on all social media platforms as well as Apple Music, Spotify. You can find them there. We're going to be posting some clips of them. Awesome band. They got some great, great songs. New record.
Same thing.
I've noticed with the artists, they don't say album, new record. I mean, it's a thing with y'all. So new record will be coming in the near future. Y'all be looking for that. And, man, thanks again for coming on. I had a great time. And
JT Reserve for life.